Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds.
Hello again, and welcome to Freedom Bound, radio without barriers.
Revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation.
I would like to send a cheerio call to Howard. Hope you're doing well. I want to see you back here soon. Today we have a very interesting show. Pam interviews Carmel Heyman, and Murray speaks with Joe Gray from Cadre. Take it away, Pam.
I'm talking to Carmel Heyman. Carmel is a friend of mine. We went to drama together. But I've just found out this rather interesting fact about Carmel. She's doing art at Tech, which I found quite fascinating. Good afternoon, Carmel.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Yes, I believe you're doing art.
Yes.
And a certificate course.
Big pardon?
A certificate course.
Yes.
Now, the interesting thing about Carmel is she's classed as a quadriplegic and doesn't have the use of her hands and does all this with her mouth. How totally fascinating, Carmel.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
I think it's normal. It doesn't fascinate me too much.
Well, how did you get into this course?
Through a social worker. She come out to the house and she wanted to know if I was interested in getting out and, you know, meeting more people. And she suggested an art course or, you know, a tech course just to sort of, you know, get me out more. And I've always wanted to do an art course, and it hasn't been easy because, you know, being in the chair and I needed help to sort of get set up and all that sort of thing. And so she arranged to have home care come out for the first week at Tech, just to help me, you know, get my things out and that. And then the ladies in the class, you know, said, oh, we'll help her, you know, get set up. So it's been going on from there.
And it's a normal tech?
Yeah, Liverpool.
You're the only disabled person in the class?
Yes, yes.
Oh, how did you feel about that?
I was a bit nervous at first because I'm not used to having people, you know, really watch what I do. But, no, I've got used to it now. I mean, I think they were even more nervous than I was. But I've noticed, you know, as I've got to know the women, that they sort of come up to me and they say, oh, you know, you're really good at it and all that sort of thing. You must have been nervous when you first come here. And I said, yeah, I said it was a bit hard. She said, you know, they reckon it was good that I made an effort to come out. So I feel like I've been accepted.
And you've made some friends there?
Yeah, there's a few ladies there that are really nice.
And they help you get it set up?
Yeah, they squeeze my paint out, and the teacher's really good. He was really good at the beginning. He didn't mind having someone in the class who was disabled. Because, you know, it had a lot to do with, you know, how the teacher was going to be and if he wanted, you know, the responsibility of it all. And because they don't, you know, realise, you know, what it's like to have someone that's, you know, disabled unless you've sort of gone to a special school. But no, he was really good.
So he adjusted quite well to that.
Yeah. In fact, now he sort of, I've noticed he's sort of helping me himself. At first he was sort of a bit distant, but no, he was really good.
And what sort of painting are you doing?
Well, it's a bit of everything. I think you study every sort of painting, you know, from pots and bowls to trees and portraits and the whole bit.
And what's your favourite?
I like trees.
You like trees?
Yeah.
Not surrealistic trees. Not blue poles?
No, I don't like that sort of thing. No, I like a tree to look like a tree.
And you mainly work with oils?
Yeah, it's oils all the time.
Did you say you're doing sketching as well?
Yeah, I do that another day during the week. Yeah, that's
pencil.
Been interesting because they're doing charcoal.
Oh, how do you manage with charcoal?
Well, I kind of do it at home. If I get in a mess, you don't, you know, no one's going to see.
Wouldn't you have some pretty black lips?
Oh, yeah, good for the teeth.
Your teeth. Sorry, Carmel, but I think I can imagine you sitting there with black lips and black teeth.
Black face.
Black face.
Yes, I've done that, but I haven't sort of done it at Tech. I've used a charcoal pencil, sort of. I kind of don't really want to paint my face in front of people.
Dita thinks it'd be quite good for the digestion.
Yeah.
Swallowing all the charcoal. Do you end up with a bit of it in your stomach?
No, I you know a pencil belongs to me because it's chewed.
Beg pardon?
I said, you know a pencil that belongs to me because it's chewed up. I chew up, I go through quite a few pencils.
You chew them up. What sort of drawings do you do with charcoal? I mean, is it figures?
Oh, it's mainly all shading sort of thing. We did a skull, a bull skull, and that had to be all done in charcoal. It was a little bit abstract sort of thing, but it's sort of mainly for shading.
Have you worked with watercolours as well?
No, I haven't. I've always liked the oils better. I did watercolours at school, but no, oils.
What about acrylics? You work with those?
I did a bit of that at school too, but it doesn't sort of give the effect I like.
And how many major works have you done altogether since you've been at Tech?
Three.
You were telling me earlier that you also embroidered.
Yes, I like embroidering. I've been doing that for quite a few years.
We were quite fascinated on how you would thread a needle for embroidery. I mean, that's fascinating to us.
I don't know. It's not to me.
Have you done many?
I've done about 5 pillows, you know, the cushions on the bed tapestries. And I've done a couple of long stitch, and I have done with embroidery cottons. I did one piece that was a lady standing beside a tree. It's quite big. It took me 3 years to do because it's all cross stitch, and you know what, embroidery cotton and fine little tiny holes. That took me quite a while to do. That's about the best I think I've done.
Yeah.
Long stitch I think is a bit of a cheat.
Long stitch a cheat, is it?
Yeah, I think it is.
I think it's amazing that you can embroider with your mouth anyway. I suppose you've been doing it since you've been knee-high, have you?
Yeah. The embroidery I've only been doing about the last 10 years. But I've always liked sewing. I went and done a sewing course.
Yeah.
Dressmaking.
Dressmaking?
Yeah. I make clothes.
How do you make clothes?
I do it.
Oh, come on. A little bit more than that, please. How do you make clothes?
I draft all my own patterns.
You draft all your own patterns?
Yeah, I went and learned how to do that. That was a real pain to do. I don't enjoy doing that because I lay on the floor and I draft them all out and you have to have all the right measurements and all that sort of thing. And then I cut it out, sew the materials out myself.
Yeah?
It takes me a day.
Cut it out?
With my mouth.
Carmel. You telling me the truth? How do you use scissors with your mouth?
Well, I put the big part in the top of my mouth, and then the other part I use to lean on the bed or on the floor and go around it like that.
Oh, that's incredible. What about the actual machine? How do you work that?
I've got a very good machine. It's been designed for disabled people.
Yeah.
And it's got, like, the switches on it are larger than normal. And it works off a pressure of air.
Mm.
And because when I sew, I lay down on the bed and I use my elbow to, for using the pedal. And I guide the material through with the scissors that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that machine, I've only had it for about 3 years. And I really enjoy sewing more now because I've got that. And just a normal, I mean, it is a normal sewing machine, but it's just got extra attachments I got for it.
In your ordinary life, as far as things like cooking and bathing and things like that, how do you cope with all of that?
I can do a little bit of cooking. Yeah. I enjoy that. I'm not real good at it. I can make myself a sandwich and I can cook a piece of steak and sausages and...
And what, you do that with your mouth?
Yeah, I've got big long, they're like barbecue prongs, I use them so I can do it. Showering and all that, I have to have help. I can't do that on my own.
And what how many things do you have that are adjusted to your particular disability?
Not much at all, nothing. Only those prongs for the cooking and the sewing machine.
And you can transfer out of your chair?
Yeah, I can get in and out of bed myself. Don't have to get put to bed or anything.
Oh, that's quite amazing. What? Getting back to your art, have you managed to sell much of it yet? Or?
Oh, no, I'm not good enough yet, I don't think. Maybe by the end of the year, I'm like, you know. But I have sold one or two over the years, but I'm not very good.
I'd love to see some of it come.
Oh, I don't think it's that good. That's why I want to finish this course. I'm hoping I improve.
We are hoping that you're going to join Freedom Bound. I'm going to say this on air, because this is a bit of a con job. We want you to come along and join us, because I think you're rather amazing. Carmel?
Yes?
Thank you very much for this interview.
Well, a pleasure. I've enjoyed it.
And have a lovely day.
And you too.
Thanks.
2SER. 2SER. Sydney Educational Radio.
And now we have Murray speaking with Joe Gray from Cadre.
With me in the studio, I have a very good friend of mine, Mr. Joe Gray. Good afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon, Murray.
Joe, thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you, Murray.
Joe, could you tell us a bit about your disability, please?
I've got cerebral palsy.
Right, and how did you come to get that?
It's from birth. It was due to the fact that I wasn't getting enough oxygen to my brain when I was born.
Right.
Which caused brain damage.
Right. And you've been a CP all your life, as you said.
Correct, for the last 33 years.
Jeez, that's a long time. Joe, how do you find it being in the position you are now?
Oh, well, I don't really give very much thought, Murray. I sort of don't dwell on the fact that I've got a disability. I sort of get on with it.
Right, and you manage the wheelchair okay?
Sometimes. It all depends on what sort of day I've had, you know.
Like if you had a good day or a bad day, you might feel okay or something like that?
Oh, yeah, I sort of don't take too many door jams out.
Yes, that's the problem. People intend to take the doors out, but can't be helped. Being in a chair myself, I know how you feel. Joe, could you tell us a bit about where you work?
I work 3 days per week at the Society for Crippled Children.
Right, and what's involved for you being 3 days at the Society?
I'm classified as a peer support worker. With that, it means that if there's a disabled that may have a problem, that they feel like they can identify more with the disabled, I would hear them first, and then I would offer them the advice that I think could be more suited for their requirements, and then if I think it needs to be taken on a bit further, I'll refer them to the appropriate person concerned, like social work or occupational therapist, whatever.
Right, and you say you work 3 days a week. What days are they?
Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays.
Right, and how do you get, say, from home to work?
I commute by cab, all-purpose taxis.
Right, so you go by one of the special disabled taxis?
Correct.
Right. And the society, you work from 9 till 3, is it, or from 9 till 4?
It's around about from 9 to... from around about 9:30 up until about 4:30.
So nearly a full day hour shift, you might say.
You may as well say yes.
Right, and do you enjoy it?
I thoroughly enjoy it. I'm in a stimulating environment. I've sort of got the resources of the society to fall back on.
Yeah.
With research and...
Right. So you enjoy, say, 3 days of activity down the society?
Well, I wouldn't call it activity, I'd call it work.
Oh, well, activity, work, so it's basically nearly the same.
But it is thoroughly enjoyable.
Right, I've been in been down to the society, so I know what your office is like. It's only a small little office that you got.
But we still call it home.
yes, Joe. Yes, I must admit, it's called home. It's very nice, very stylish, I must admit. Joe, you got this group called Cadre. Could you explain to us, please, what is Cadre?
Cadre is a group of physically young adult disabled. And it actually stands for Community Awareness, disability, recreation and education.
Right, and that's a pretty long saying for that word, isn't it?
Oh, well, you know, we tried to condense it down, but just didn't say the right thing, you know, what the group was involved in.
Right, and how many people are involved in the group?
I think the last count that I tallied up in the last 2 weeks was something like about 25, 26.
Right, so it's expanding, let's say.
It is rapidly expanding.
Right, and being a member of myself, I know how you mean by expanding, because when I first joined Cadre there, I didn't know there was so many, but now there's expanding from 25 nearly up to 30, so we're, or I should say you, got your hands sort of tied up.
Yes, I'm usually finding now there's probably not a week at gas parts that I don't at least get one or two referrals from either social workers or family members that may have a member of their family with disability, and they've heard about the group, and you know, they'll just ring me up and say, well, what's the chances of coming in?
Right, and what kind of disabled people come in, like what kind of people?
Well, we've got really a melting pot of disability, I suppose. We've got, let's see, four people with cerebral palsy, one young chap with muscular dystrophy, a couple of brain, just moderately brain injured people.
Brain injured.
We've got two quadriplegics.
Right, so you got a range of different disabilities.
Yeah, we've consciously made a point of not sticking to one specific type.
Right, okay. And, Joe, what about events? Do you go out a lot, or do you just go out when you can?
Well, we do go on group outings. We've got a bus at the centre where we meet, and we go out on the occasional outing. Like in the past, we've been to Darling Harbour, and we'll probably go out to a club or go out to a barbecue, whatever. It's really what the members wish to do. There's no set structure within the group.
Right, and what kind of activities, like say if it's a wet day, what kind of activities would you do inside?
Well, if there's a guest speaker arranged to come in, we'll have a guest speaker on any sort of topic that the group may wish to know more information about. In the past, we've had representation from the Department of Social Security come in and inform the group of what their entitlements are and benefits within Social Security. And then we've had people from TAD, TAD, Technical Aid for Disabled. It's more or less a whole range of whatever the people within the group wish to hear about. That's, we'll endeavour to try to get someone in.
Right, and what about the aim?
The aims of the group is to increase the community's awareness of people with disabilities.
Right, and Joe, to come into Cadre, I suppose it's an experience for many, many people.
Yeah, because what it is, Murray, a lot of these people have been very isolated over the years, and it's sort of, it's good to be able to get out and meet other disabled. So therefore, if you are lacking motivation and confidence when you come into the group, it soon, you know, turns it around with the aspect. They see other motivated people. So therefore, it's contagious.
Right. And you're the coordinator of Cadre.
Correct.
Right. And I suppose you're tied up, say, nearly every day with the group, or do you just don't get time at all?
No, well, really, the group started up in September of 1986.
86, right.
Which then at that stage it was only three members, which I was one of those three.
Right.
And as I said, going to the number that that we've now got is up to about 25, 26. But at that stage, it was just half a day, one day per week.
Right.
And my workload would be probably no more than one day per week. Now it's gone on to about 6 days per week.
Right. Joe, do you ever get time with friends and family, or is it a no-go?
It's getting that way. It's getting increasingly difficult to do so.
So you might see the family over night time if you can, when you can, I suppose.
Yeah, it's virtually becoming a standing joke in my household. It's sort of, you're the guy that used to leave her in the wheelchair.
Yeah, I could imagine. I wouldn't know how you feel. Joe, before we go, where do you meet?
We meet at the Guildford Community Centre in Guildford at 90 O'Neill Street, Guildford.
Right, and what day do you meet?
Every Thursday.
Okay, and the phone number, please, Joe, if anyone who is interested in joining the group.
Well, the phone number for the Guildford Centre is 632-2765.
That's 632-2765. Okay, Joe, time is just about quarters, but is there anything would you like to say hello to anyone before we wrap it up?
I'd like to say hello to Mari.
Thanks, Joe.
And Rodney. And all the gang out there.
Right, say hi to everyone, including Joy, your wife, I suppose.
Correct.
And the family.
And you.
I've been speaking to Joe Gray, the coordinator of CADRA. Thank you.
Now we have an article from the Sydney Morning Herald, dated Friday, May the 19th. This is about disabled young people at risk from sexual abuse. There's one in three or four girls and one in eight or nine boys will have experienced some form of sexual assault by the time they are 18, and the risk to disabled people is eight times greater, according to new material released by the state government. The figures are contained in a new government training package for doctors, counsellors and others dealing with sexual assault, released by the Minister for Health, Mr. Collins, yesterday. According to the figures, more than 90% of people who abuse children are men, and in 85% of cases the offenders were well known to the children. The figures coincide with the screening this week on ABC television of the documentary Nobody's Children. That was before this program goes to air. That was last week. Which highlights the huge problems of child homelessness and sexual abuse. I'm sure a lot of you did see or at least hear of the program. The Minister for Family and Community Services, Mrs Chadwick, announced yesterday the setting up of a 24-hour toll-free crisis telephone number for children and their families who felt they needed help. People wishing to seek advice on sexual assault problems on the toll-free number can ring 008-425-2888 or 818-5555. Not the printed number on the Friday, May 19th issue of the Sydney Morning Herald. That was a misprint there. So it's 818-5555. According to the material, sexual abuse included sexual penetration, exhibitionism, fondling and masturbation. The training package points particularly to the alarming number of developmentally disabled or retarded people who are subjected to sexual assault. The Royal North Shore Sexual Assault Service reported an increase of 300% in referrals of such victims last year. This is unbelievable, isn't it? 300% increase in referrals. The package includes case studies of a number of retarded people who have been assaulted, often by people responsible for their care, such as nurses. Developmentally disabled people are particularly at risk because of their dependence on others for basic care, such as washing and dressing. The training package includes information on how to recognise sexual assault and the legal issues arising from such assaults. Sexual offences against people with developmental disabilities have been an offence under the New South Wales Crimes Act since 1981. We will go into this article and try to talk to someone in a professional area next week. This brings us to the end of another Freedom Bound program. We have
the chance to turn the pages on. I'd just like to say hi to Howard and hope he has a speedy recovery and comes back soon. Now at the end of the show, I'm handing it over to Mary Casanova Johnson.
Thanks, fam. I'll get you in a fortnight's time. Just remember, you're the voice of disability. Keep listening to 107.3 on FM.